you know, I went to bed one night and I woke up in the morning and, hey, I was a Christian. It doesn't work that way. Jesus says you've got to look for this gate because it's narrow and it's hard to find.
There is a shallow evangelism fashionable in the church today. It invites people to come to Christ to solve problems in this life and offers all love without repentance and holiness. And on this edition of The Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green shows us why that evangelism does not point a soul toward the narrow gate that leads to life in heaven. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're glad you're with us for more of our series, Finding the Way to Heaven. Don, what's in store for us over the next couple of broadcasts?
As we consider what Jesus meant when he said the way to heaven is narrow, we're going to understand why that is. It's narrow because salvation is found only in Christ, only in repentance, and it's a life that often leads to affliction. But what you're going to find is the great value of salvation makes it worth it to go through that narrow gate. It's the only gate that leads to eternal life. Stay with us as we study God's Word together today on The Truth Pulpit.
Let's join Don now in The Truth Pulpit.
Look at chapter 7, verse 13 with me. Let me reset it in your mind as we start to enter back into our exposition of this text today. Chapter 7, verse 13, having said all that he had said through chapter 5, 6, and chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus now says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. These two verses are Jesus making a call to personal repentance to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is picturing his hearers as standing before two gates, and they must choose which gate they are going to enter. And the contrast is stark, and there's a certain deception tied up into the broad path that he exposes. First of all, Jesus describes the gate to hell, and he says that this gate is broad that leads to destruction. It accommodates many people, but there is no safety in numbers, beloved, when it comes to spiritual life. The many hundreds of millions, if not billions of people are walking this path are no indication that it is the true path that leads to life. We saw that it's a broad gate with a broad way. The gate to hell is easy to enter. You don't have to do anything. You're born on the way to hell, as it were, because you are born into your sin. You are born into the judgment of that sin. And so it's easy to just continue on that way. It's a spacious way. And all manner of religion, all manner of spiritual indifference, all manner of agnosticism, and all manner of atheism can be found on this broad path. There is a wide diversity to this path and the people that are traveling upon it. And it's not hard to be there. You get to do whatever you want on that path. You get to believe whatever you want to believe on that path. It's easy. It's wide. There's room. But beloved, the ease of that path is deceptive. The present ease of being on the road to hell is extremely deceptive. While it seems more comfortable now, while you don't have the demands of Jesus on your life, you're not under the yoke of his authority on the broad path, and it seems like things are going the way you want, and you're the master of your own destiny, at least in your own mind, Jesus speaks to the end of that broad way to expose the deception of it. He says, look at the middle of verse 13, the way is broad that leads to destruction. This easy, wide path, which seems so comfortable now, falls off a cliff without warning. You follow this path and you find yourself in eternal destruction in hell as your punishment for rejecting Christ, as your punishment for your own sins. your own violations of the holy law of a holy God with eternal consequences. And because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, because all men are guilty before Him, because all that guilt requires eternal punishment to vindicate the justice of God's law, even though that way seems comfortable at the time, it leads to a fiery destruction at the end. These people who think that are on the broad way and think they have it good and mock Christianity are going to find the deception when it's too late to do anything about it. It's tragic, beloved, that there are so many people unthinkingly and consciously moving away from Christ down that broad way to destruction. And as Jesus said at the end of verse 13, this is a broad gate with a broad way. It leads to destruction. Many people are going on this broad gate. Look at the end of verse 13. Jesus says, there are many who enter through it. Many who enter through this wide gate and this broad way that leads to destruction. A sea of humanity moving toward an appointment with destruction. This is tragic. This gives you a whole new perspective on the world. And even these people that hate what we stand for, the people that hate Christ and persecute us and mock us and all of that and bring difficulty into our life, we need to see this through the perspective that Jesus gives to us here and grieve and mourn over the fact that they are moving toward destruction. The success of their mocking is only temporary. And for those of you that are here today, you have to recognize this path is broad enough to cover people, as we said last time, cover people who call Jesus Lord. Jesus made that very plain. And so, beloved, this passage compels you to self-examination, to say, am I truly in the faith? Because I don't want to be on this broad path that leads to destruction. That's a basic summary of everything that we talked about. But now, in keeping with this context of the contrasts that we opened with, broad versus narrow, the good tree, bad tree kind of thing, look at verse 14 with me, because here is where Jesus describes the gate to heaven. It's counterintuitive to those who don't know the Bible. Verse 14, Jesus says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. With the word for, he's telling you the reason why you should enter through the narrow gate, as he commands in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for it is a small gate. The way is narrow that leads to life. There are few who find it. He says, the reason this is so important, the reason that I tell you to enter through the narrow gate and to look for it, is because it's so easy to miss. Jesus here is establishing a clear black and white contrast with the gate that leads to hell. The gate to heaven is, first of all, subpoint number one, if you want to take notes, it's a narrow gate with a narrow way. It's a narrow gate with a narrow way. The opening of this verse in verse 14 could actually be translated as an exclamation. It's as if Jesus is saying, how narrow the gate! The gate is broad that leads to destruction. The way is broad and all of that. And by contrast, how narrow is the gate that leads to life? It emphasizes the contrast and calls your attention to it. This verse is a wake-up call to you, designed to motivate you to look for the narrow gate and enter through it. You get a sense of the power of the exclamation if you think about a common experience to all of us. If you've ever been walking along, maybe inside a building, maybe going around on a sidewalk or something, and you're deep in thought, and all of a sudden somebody comes out and you weren't expecting them, and you're completely startled by it. You go, whoa, I wasn't thinking about, whoa. And it startles you, and it breaks you out of your train of thought. Say, I wasn't even thinking this way, and now I nearly had a collision with this person right in front of me. That's the sense of this exclamation that Jesus gives at the start of verse 14. It should have the effect on the hearers that says, oh, I wasn't expecting that. It wakes you up. It startles you to realize the significance of what he is saying and the meaning of it here. The word narrow The gate is small and the way is narrow. It signifies something that is cramped, something that is difficult and squeezing. It is difficult to pass along this way. And it means that the gate that you're looking for, the gate that leads to heaven and the narrow way that follows after it, is something that you have to look for with care and precision. You have to think about this. You don't just happen into Christianity. You don't just drift into it. It is not like a baptism testimony I heard at another place at another time where a guy said, you know, I went to bed one night and I woke up in the morning and, hey, I was a Christian. It doesn't work that way, beloved. Now, maybe he meant something else and there was more to the story, but that was about the significance of it. He just woke up and he was a Christian. Well, God bless him. Jesus says, you've got to look for this gate because it's narrow and it's hard to find. And even after you enter, the subsequent way remains narrow. I believe Jesus here is using the gate in this verse to picture the initial moment of conversion when someone first puts his faith in Christ, truly repenting, truly putting his faith in Christ. That's the narrow gate that leads into the way that leads to eternal life. The way pictures the life that follows before we fully enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you want to put it in theological terms, I understand the gate to be representing that moment of justification, the narrow way that follows to be the sanctification that follows during this earthly life and the life of a believer. Now, with that understanding, we have to ask three important questions about this gate to heaven, or give three principles about it. We have to deal with this question. Why is the gate so narrow? What makes the subsequent path so narrow? And these are things that are basic Bible truth, beloved. But it is the very things that make the path and the gate narrow that leads to eternal life. Three things to call to your attention about the narrow gate that leads to heaven. First of all, number one, salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior. There is no other path to heaven except through the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one bridge over this raging river from where we are to where reconciliation with God is found, and that bridge is the Lord Jesus Christ. No other bridge exists. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The gate is narrow because you only enter the kingdom through faith in Christ. Only Christ turned away the wrath of God against sinners. By his death, Christ absorbed that wrath on behalf of everyone who repents and believes in him. He stood as our substitute, taking the wrath of God that should have fallen upon us, bearing it in his own body so that the penalty could be satisfied and you could go free. There is no other way to salvation. And any religion, any message that teaches any path to God other than this exclusive message is a religion that is on the broad path to destruction. Your own works, your own effort lead to eternal hell. Pretty serious. Because in saying that, the Bible is condemning the vast majority of religious instruction that has gone on since the beginning of time. Jesus is making an exclusive truth claim here, because salvation comes only through him. Now, secondly, true salvation is narrow because salvation requires deep repentance. Salvation requires deep repentance, and that makes the gate to heaven very narrow. The very nature of repentance makes it a narrow way that is not initially very attractive. True repentance means you consciously leave behind the world. You are separating yourself from the world and its false systems of religion, from its false philosophies, from its mindsets, from its love and its lusts. You're saying, that is not going to be what I participate in. I separate myself from that environment. I reject it. You're rejecting the very environment in which you live. It would almost be like a fish rejecting water. But that's the nature of true repentance. You leave behind the world and the world system. You also turn away from your own self-righteousness, your own sin, and your own earthly priorities. You leave yourself behind in true repentance. You leave yourself behind at the true moment of salvation where you are truly putting your faith in Christ. It is an unconditional surrender to the Lordship of Christ. A complete self-condemnation that says, I have no righteousness of my own. I am a total sinner with no way to reconcile myself to God. I need help from outside if I am to be saved. You must come as a bankrupt beggar to follow Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the inbred pride in the human heart that each one of you were born with, that self-righteousness, that pride in your own accomplishments and your own spiritual good, and I've lived a pretty good life, all of that stuff, you have to reject it. You have to cut the rope to that and cast it adrift. And say, I'm never going to attach myself to that again. For someone to truly say that I am a Christian, he is acknowledging before you. And when you say I'm a Christian, inherent in that confession is, I have no righteousness of my own. I am a bankrupt sinner. There is nothing good about me whatsoever. I agree with what the Bible says about me. There is no one who does good. No, not even one. And that makes it a narrow way because you have to kill your own pride to enter the narrow gate. Now, beloved, think with me here. We're talking at a very basic foundational level here. Lots of people talk about Jesus, but far fewer of all the people that talk about Jesus, there is a much smaller subset of those who actually hate the world and their own sin enough to abandon all of it to follow Christ. And that's why it is a narrow gate. And that's why I can't be comfortable up here in a group of this size and just assume that everybody in here is a Christian. I can't do that and be faithful to the gospel. I've got to be mindful of the fact that it's a narrow gate. And I never want to engender false doubts about someone's salvation, but I can't take for granted that the fact that you walk through the doors of this gym means that you're a Christian. You have got to consider this in light of what the authority of Christ and what He said. The reality is Jesus Himself said, there are few who respond to spiritual life this way. And all I can do is lay it before you and do what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate. Examine yourself. Is this the path that you are on? Because you can only enter with that true repentance. And when you understand the nature of how Jesus describes repentance in the Sermon on the Mount, you realize it's a pretty rare thing, comparatively speaking. So, the gate is narrow because salvation is found only in Christ. The gate is narrow because of the nature of true repentance. And the gate is narrow, the way is narrow because salvation also leads to affliction. Salvation often leads to affliction for those who truly know Christ. And this is an important point that may clear up a lot of doubt and confusion for some of you. Certainly those of you that come out of a charismatic environment that promises certain measures of health and prosperity if you just have enough faith. What a damnable lie that is. And what a damnable effect it has on sincere people who are going through difficult trials in their lives. that truly know Christ. The shallow evangelism of our day often invites people to come to Christ because God will help them with their problems in this life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, while there is a certain thread of truth to that idea, God does sustain His children. God does invite them to cast all their anxieties upon Him because He cares for them. That idea leaves out so much, if that's all that's said, that it turns the truth into a lie. Because the Bible says we will suffer as we follow Christ. That makes it a narrow way. Jesus Himself, if you turn back to chapter 5, verse 11, talks about the reality of persecution for those who come to Him. Those who are walking this narrow path, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Me." That should lead you to expect the afflictions that come with being on the narrow way. Elsewhere in the Bible, in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Acts 14, verse 22, it says that the Apostle Paul was, quote, "strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." There are going to be difficulties on the path, beloved. That's just the nature of the narrow way. There are going to be afflictions of a wide variety of kind, with many different colors, in many different ways, through many different people. And you know the mindset. You've talked to people who reason this way. And for most of you, you've probably wondered this yourself at some point in your Christian life. The line of thinking in the midst of trials that says, if God is with me, why am I having so much trouble? Well, beloved, understanding that salvation is a narrow gate with a narrow way that leads into the kingdom of heaven helps you understand that and helps you deal with that question. That question, God is with me, why am I having so much trouble, is rooted in a mistaken expectation about what the Christian life is going to bring. Christianity is a narrow way. It comes with affliction. It comes with tribulation. It comes with trials and difficulties. That's why the New Testament talks so much about responding to trials. It's the nature of it. It comes with the territory. And here's the point, beloved. When you understand that, when you embrace that, when you say, okay, it's going to come with some trouble. It's going to come with some sorrow. It's going to come with some hard times that I'm not going to necessarily like. When you understand that and say this is the fundamental nature of Christian life, that this is part of the texture of what happens, then, beloved, you can have greater confidence and assurance when the trials come. The trials are not an indication that God is angry. It's not an indication that He's withdrawn His favor. For a true Christian, it's not an indication that you were never saved to begin with. It's a narrow way that comes with affliction, which comes with tribulation. And when you know what to expect, you're better equipped to respond to it when those difficult times come. And they're not shallow difficulties. We're talking about things that shake you to the core of who you are. Things that just absolutely break your heart. Beloved, that comes sometimes on the narrow path that leads to heaven.
The narrow gate that is Jesus Christ, the gate that leads to eternal life, requires self-examination that, in turn, leads to repentance. After that, we should expect affliction, not a perfect, carefree, and necessarily prosperous party life. So why follow this path? Well, as Pastor Don Green will remind you next time, heaven is more than worth it. Be with us on the Truth Pulpit. But right now, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, I listen to a lot of Christian radio myself, and I know how the game is played at this stage of the program. People have something to sell to you, or they make a strong ask for your support. Well, that's not what I want to do today at all. I just want you to know that our perspective on this ministry is this. The Truth Pulpit exists for you, to minister God's Word to you. You do not exist in order to make this ministry possible. We trust the Lord for His provision, and He's been very generous to us. So please know that we love you, that we want you to benefit from our program, and that we have no expectations of what you're going to do in response. We just want you to hear God's Word, receive it, understand it, and obey it. And we trust that God will bless you and us as that process takes place.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com soon. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.